Chesha Shunyavadi Paschat Adeshata. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Vishnu Sahasranama, continuing the commentary. The next name is Virama, which I don't think is very common as a name. Has anyone ever heard the name? I mean, it's not a name in common use, is it? Virama. Yeah. Ever heard anyone called Virama? Although it's a common word. A word. No, it's more like a full stop, isn't it? It's like the Sanskrit equivalent of a full stop, or in traditional vernacular, written Indian languages also. Virama means, yeah, it's the end of a line. I suppose it could be, yeah. So in a half a verse. Yeah, that's another meaning of the word. That's another meaning of the word. Viram, just like aram in Hindi. Viram as a rest. Vishram is a similar word, which means rest. Another meaning is given in the dictionary is holiday. So that's but the best known meaning of it in modern Indian languages is that brings a sentence to an end. So it's translated here as similar. The one who is at the end means who is the final goal of everyone. The final end. The word end can mean not simply, in both ways, it means a point beyond which there is no further going. That means it's a termination, and it also means a goal, final goal, when there's no further to go. Someone may aspire to be a great enjoyer of this material world, and then they may become frustrated with that and desire liberation from the material world, and then when they understand that Vasudeva Sarvam, Vasudeva is all in all, then there's no further to go. Even within the service of Vishnu, there may be seeking to find the highest and best way to serve him, and in which form, this topic forms the subject of the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where the devotee Gopa Kumar began his worship of Vishnu at the level of materialistic worship of Vishnu with the aim of getting boons from him, and gradually went step by step, and there were many steps, up to joining Krishna in his pastimes in Vrindavan. And Gopa Kumar joined as a cowherd boy, and for him that was the end. For someone else the end may be Vaikuntha. For someone else it may be Ayodhya. For someone else it may be Dwarka. Gopa Kumar went to all these places, but he wasn't fully satisfied until he attained the final goal. The final goal may be different for different devotees. For Hanuman, the final goal is the lotus feet of Lord Rama. For Gopukumar, it was being with Krishna in his cowherd pastimes. But he is the final goal for everyone. And if we, or as long as we're not fixed in our relationship with Krishna, then we'll never be satisfied, and that won't be our final position. We may think I'll go to the heavenly planets and become Amara. Amara means deathless, but that's a cheating word because it's only said like that. There's no, practically deathless compared to the lifespan of human beings on this planet, but not actually deathless. They also don't suffer death in the way that on this planet we can suffer long, prolonged illness before death, but the demigods, they just die painlessly. But the pain is knowing that now I have to go back to this earth planet for where there's so much struggle. And the heavenly planets, everyone wears a garland which doesn't fade, but there comes a point when it fades, and at that point they know, now it's over, now I have to die. Now I have to go back to the earth. Of course, the more intelligent demigods, they're praying to take birth on this earth because it's better for self-realization. Please get me a tissue. Better for self-realization. When they made so much effort and fulfilled their goal of going to the heavenly planets, but then they realized this isn't the final goal. We should... Final goal is the lotus feet of Vishnu. Another meaning is, he before whom all become powerless. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a similar meaning to the final goal of everyone. He says that he is the ultimate boundary within which everything exists. Just like the virama at the end of a sentence, that okay, that's the end of a sentence. That now the sentence is finished, fixed. So, Parashara Bhatta of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, he explains that before Rama, all are powerless. Rama, even though he appeared to be like an ordinary human, before him, even Lord Brahma, who had given boons to Ravana, he's given boons to so many others, he's powerless before him. Or rather, if we want to nuance that statement, we can say that Lord Brahma, whatever power he has, that comes from Rama. So actually he's powerless, but he takes power from Rama, so he appears to be very powerful. So people like Ravana, they acquired boons by their austerities, but such boons are powerless before Lord Rama. He also... The Lord within the heart of Ravana gave him the wrong intelligence not to ask for the boon of being safe from the attacks of humans. Because he thought, humans, what's that? That's my breakfast. That's what I eat. There's no question of my being killed by me. Just like if you do austerities for thousands of years and then you... Lord Brahma comes and you want a benediction. Give me the benediction that I won't be killed by a housefly. You don't do it because no one ever thought that you could die from and an aggressive housefly is flying at you at full speed, determined to kill you, well, what can a housefly do? It can maybe disturb you, but it's unthinkable that a housefly, by exhibiting superior strength, can defeat you and kill you. It's just, you can't imagine it. So Ravana, actually out of his arrogance, being inspired by the Supreme Lord within the heart, did not ask for the benediction of being safe from the threat of being killed by a human, because he thought that humans are too insignificant. There's no, to ask for such a boon is demeaning. It would show that I have some respect for and some fear for humans, but I'm above that. No need to ask for such a boon. So his failing to ask for such a boon was his undoing. Shankaracharya gives the explanation that he, Vishnu, is the final resting place of all beings. And apart from the ultimate liberation of going back home, back to Godhead, Vishnu is the final resting place of all living beings at the end of each of each manifestation of each universe, when the whole universe winds up at the time of the universal annihilation, then all living beings enter into the body of Vishnu and they rest there. They get a little rest. Just like when we sleep, we get some rest. We get rejuvenated by association with the Supersoul. That's the explanation given in Shastra. We enter, and deep sleep is a state similar to that of being in impersonal Brahman, where we're not really conscious. Even at the level of dreaming, we're not conscious. But there is some consciousness, because when we wake up, we can say, oh, I slept very deeply. So this consciousness of not being conscious is there. So all living beings have their rest in him. And when we rest, we should know that we're being mentally and physically rejuvenated by the Supersoul. But that doesn't mean that now we're going to go into deep meditation on the Supersoul by going to sleep. That is not recommended as a process of meditation. Although Srila Prabhupada said that he'd seen so-called yogis sitting, supposed to be meditating, but actually snoring. So that's not quite the correct process. In some schools of Buddhism, they have the monks meditate in rows, and they have to sit very straight. And if they don't sit properly straight, the master will come and beat them harshly with a bamboo rod. So they sit up straight, very, very straight. Because if you sit up very straight, then you're less likely to fall asleep like that. So that's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also. So he's the final resting place of all living beings. Another commentator state, he quotes from the Ramayana, that those who have seen Rama even once, their thoughts have gone to Rama, then they don't want their thoughts to go away. They want it to remain like that forever. The final resting place, because yad gatvana nivartante tadhama parama mama, one who goes to him never comes back. Until we reach him, there's always coming back. And when we do reach him, then we can finally rest. In Christianity, they have written on the gravestone, R.I.P., rest in peace. It's short for some Italian words, which mean the same thing, but In English it comes out, rest in peace. But there's no rest in this material world. We may say, or someone had a very unhappy life, now they died, now they can rest in peace. But it's a wrong idea that we can rest in peace. There's no rest in this material world. There's just trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. But when Ramante yogino nante, when one becomes a yogi and takes pleasure in meditating upon the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of Lord Rama, then one can actually achieve peace. He is the source of all delight and all pleasure. So that's the name Virama. And we might think, well, okay, that's the end. But there are more names of Vishnu Sahasranama to come. It's the end of the sentence, but there's always another sentence. So with Krishna, it doesn't mean end, finished, all done. In devotional service also, it doesn't mean that, well, I did my service, did what I was asked to do, so everything finished. There's no such thing. With Krishna, although he is the end in the sense that he brings to the end our material life and he's our ultimate goal, there is no end to serving him. If we think, well, I'll go back to Godhead and then everything finished, I don't have to come back. But there are activities in the spiritual world also. Krishna is the end and he's the beginning. Udbhavascha bhavishyatam. He's the beginning also, as well as the end. So there's really no end with Krishna. It's not in the sense that everything is finished. Everything material is finished. Everything undesirable, everything unhappy, everything unwholesome, everything degraded is finished. But to come to Krishna means to start a new life. I think we've all experienced that coming to Krishna consciousness is a new life. It's whatever we were doing before seems meaningless. And there's a reason for that. It was meaningless. That is the reason. So there is real life with Krishna. There's the end. Well, how do we go there? How do we get there? Well, that comes in the next name or two names. The next name is Virataha, and the name after that is Marga. Virataha means one Virat. Now I'm not sure because it's written differently in Sanskrit and in the transcription. But I think it should be Virata. It's not. Oh yeah, Virataya. Okay, no, my mistake. So Virata means without attachment. Marga means the path, so it may be, or sometimes it's given as Virajo Marga, so it can be two names. Virajo Marga, he who shows the path of non-attachment to this world, or the flawless path. Or otherwise, Virata means he has no attachment, he has no material attachment. Krishna is not attached. He creates, maintains, and destroys the whole material world. There's no attachment to it. He is the Marga. He is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Whoops. And no one comes to the Lord except through me. But, we don't subscribe to that piece of quite likely mythology that Christ said such a thing. Or even if he did, it has to be understood as contextual, because clearly there have been many gurus prior to the coming of Jesus of Nazareth, as he's called, prior to his appearance in this world, and there have been many great gurus even after his coming. So Krishna is the Marga. He shows the way. He is the way. He is the goal, and he is the means to attain the goal also. How do we reach Krishna? By Krishna's mercy. What is Krishna's mercy? Krishna's instructions, Krishna's devotees, who are none different from Krishna. So these names can be taken together as one word or separately, and either way we analyze, we'll find that this is another perfect description of Vishnu. So some of these qualities we should try to emulate, that to be free of material attachment, that is completely natural in Krishna. It's actually completely natural in us also, to only be attached to Krishna and his devotees. Our attachment to this material world is the cause of our bondage within it. Ato griha kshetra sutapte vitaya. The bewilderment that arises from attachment to the objects of the world is the cause of being incarcerated in it. And the attachment to Krishna is the cause of our being liberated from this world and going to Krishna. So this is a very important name for us to remember, Virata, or Virajo Marga. Viraja. Viraja means tamagun, in which there's much material attachment, much endeavor for things of no real value, a lot more acting than carefully thinking. So these are all qualities of someone who's in Maya. These are to be overcome. It may be very difficult for us to overcome because we're in this material world for time immemorial, but it is possible by the grace of Krishna, who is unattached. Although he comes to this world, he lives within it, he acts within it, but he has no attachment to it. So that is the example we should follow. We should become like Krishna in becoming unattached to the material world. How can we do that? He shows the way to do that by following the rules and regulations of Bhakti Yoga and praying to him for help. Then we can also become Virata. We should not aspire to become the Marga or the way, but that service may come upon us, that we have to show the way to others also. So we have to know how to give Krishna to others through the parampara system. So these study of Shastra and hearing the classes on the topics of Krishna consciousness, that will bring us along the way, and as we go along the way, we can catch up some others also and bring them along with us. About Lord Rama not being attached, that is very clear from the descriptions in the Ramayana. Even though he was awarded the kingdom, but he was not attached. And when the very next day he was told that now you cannot enjoy the kingdom, you cannot even stay in the kingdom, you have to get out from it immediately and live a very uncomfortable life with no servants and everything and no opulence, you have to go and live like a mendicant in the forest, then Rama, being completely unattached to this world, made no protest. He accepted it. What a standard of renunciation. We hear about this so we can try to emulate it within our own small way. We're unlikely to ever, at least I can say for those who are present here now, it is unlikely that we'll ever have such an opportunity to be a king of an important kingdom. Well, at least not in this life. And in the future life, we don't want to be a king also. We want to go, we don't want to come back again to this material world. But On the one hand, although we should be very careful not to unnecessarily waste anything, but at the same time, we shouldn't be personally attached to anything. And a great example is that of Lord Rama. Just remember that the name Rama came up just 2 names ago, if we take this by the numbering system of at least one of the acharyas. Anyway, the name Rama just came, and Parashara Bhatta especially, he, in this section of Vishnu Sahasranama, he explains all of the names to specifically indicate the Rama avatar. So, another instance of his detachment is having conquered over Lanka with its extraordinary wealth, golden Lanka, full of gold. He didn't think to loot it, or he could have taken over and been the king himself. But he just thought, well, okay, duty finished, and now I can go back to Ayodhya and lead my life as it is. He didn't think to stay and take over the kingdom. But he very dutifully, we could say, he passed on the rulership of the kingdom to Vibhishana, as he had promised. He didn't say, okay, now I gave you this position, so you better give me a yearly tribute of gold. There's plenty of gold, give me plenty. He said, no, you just take it, that's all. Take it and rule it. He wasn't at all attached to the riches and wealth and all different kinds of opulence that was available there. Probably most of us never thought about that. We just took it for granted. But if he had been attached, if he had had any material attachment, he would have tried to find some way to make everyone there agreeable to, well, there were the wives of the Rakshasas there. So they might not have been very favorable to him. But anyway, he could have taken it over and just enjoyed it as he liked. But anyway, he's the supreme enjoyer, and he was very attached to the citizens of Ayodhya. Materially attached, no, but spiritually attached. And most of all, Rama exhibited the characteristic of being very much attached to dharma. So by following dharma, that also helps us to become gradually unattached to anything of this world. So viraja marga, to be without the mode of passion, means just to be completely calm and tranquil. Without the mode of passion means not to go below it into the mode of ignorance, but to rise above it in the mode of goodness. So that is a very desirable quality, to rise above the lower modes of nature and come to the sattva-guna, the mode of existence. It's just on the border of the actual spiritual existence. As long as we're in material consciousness, we have so many attachments. And devotees often ask this, well, how can I get free from my material attachments? It seems to be very difficult. That is possible by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. This question comes in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, where the 4 Kumaras ask Brahma, well, how can we be free from the attachments to sense objects? Because we have our senses, and our senses function by interacting with the sense objects at every moment. Otherwise, the senses couldn't work at all. Unless there's something to see, then what is the use of having eyes? Unless there's something to hear, then what is the use of having ears, and so on. So Hamsa avatar appeared when Brahma was unable to answer this question and said, more or less you could say his answer is something like this. Well, you forgot about me. What about me? I am the vital factor in all the sensory and intellectual activities of the living beings. All your senses are meant to be offered to me. It's not that things are just going on without any controller. That's what the demons say. But the devotees know that Krishna, Rama, Vishnu, he's in control. By his grace, we can rise above the material modes of nature. Mangchayova picharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitai tan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. As long as we're in material existence, then we're bound up by the three modes of material nature. But if we simply try to serve Krishna, at the same time not cultivating material attachments, but if we cultivate Krishna consciousness, then by Krishna's grace, we can come to the spiritual platform beyond the modes of material nature. So that is a difference between he and us. He's always detached. We can become detached, but there's no question of Krishna ever becoming attached to this material world. Then we can take the word Marga separately. There are other similar names here in Vishnu Sahasrara. He is the way. He shows us the way. He, by his instruction, Marga, by giving us instructions within Shastra, he teaches us how to traverse the path which goes back to him. So he's both the goal and the means to attain the goal. By his mercy, we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Often devotees ask, well, how can I become sincere? How can I control my senses? There may be various answers for these questions, but one question is that we can pray to Krishna, who is has all good qualities, to help us to imbibe such qualities. We can also associate with devotees in whom we see such devotional qualities, and by their association, sangat sanjayate kamaha, our desires develop according to our association. So Krishna also manifests himself in the form of the devotees, and particularly those who give us so many relevant instructions for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. It is very beneficial for us to treat such persons or to reverence them as gurus, because they teach us about spiritual life, and Krishna, he likes that. He likes that system that we should learn through a teacher, spiritual master, and we have to be prepared to submit ourselves for guidance, and in this way our connection with Krishna becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. As we surrender more and more to Krishna, then Krishna gives us more and more intelligence about how to surrender to him more and more, how to serve him more and more and more and more. So it's good for us to be attached to him. He's not attached to anything of this world, but it's very favorable for us, actually required for us. I mean, that is the meaning of life, to become attached to him. And he's also attached to his devotees, but again, there's no meaning of any mundaneness in this. So generally we use the same terms, unattached, anasakta, because we're so used to attachment, meaning material attachment, that we talk about detachment, although actually our whole process is much more one of attachment than detachment. Our first aim is not simply to become detached from this world. but to become fully attached to Krishna. However, the tricky mind may make us think, well, I'm fully attached to Krishna, while we have other agendas going on in our mind also. So we should surrender to Krishna for our own good. It doesn't make any difference to Krishna, he's always happy. But for our own good, we should surrender to Krishna. And if we're very serious to do so, he will show us the path by which we can go on the path back to him. And yeah, he is that. He is the path also. So I'll finish there. Unless there's any question about this. I'll finish a little early today. Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. He came just after Ramanuja. Yeah. Yeah, early in the Sampradaya.
And what is this perspective of this followers of Shankaracharya about this Shankara's commentary on Krishna Sarasana? Because it appears more personalistic.
Shankara's commentary appears more personalistic. Well, maybe that's because I'm explaining it. I don't take the impersonal kind of meaning, which could be some of the things the translations which are there, I don't give it. I don't say what it be. If we read the way they translate, it could be taken that way also. And the if we see Mayavadi commentaries, they're horrible actually. So Shankara's, you could take it both ways. But some things, in some ways, it appears to be like a completely Mayavad philosophy. He came to explain Mayavad philosophy. So he was cheating, tricking. Those who can find the Vaishnava in him, they'll find it. But generally he presented himself as the leader of the Mayavadi school. I always thought it'd be good to have a good study of Shankara, a book on him. That's another project. I won't be doing that in this lifetime, unlikely. But I'm personally fascinated by the character of Shankaracharya. For persons who are inclined towards spiritual life, then Shankara, he's a very attractive person. How at a very young age took sannyas and left home, and then he met with all these great Vedic scholars and converted them, and it's been very wonderful pastimes what he did. Definitely of a most extraordinary personality. Not an ordinary person of this world, that's for sure. So, Hare Krishna. Shri Vishnu Sahasranama Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.